How can you make overland travel hell for your players?
But at the same time, not so hellish that they never again leave the city in which they start. Well, this is how I do it.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of How to Be a Great GM. My name is Guy, and this is my advice on how to make overland travel hell. Now, the first question you should be asking is, how is it going to affect the pacing of my game? This is the mantra of this channel for this year, is pacing, 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 pacing. So, how is it going to affect the pacing of your game? If overland travel and having problems, having it being hellish, is going to slow the pacing of your game down to a crawl, don't do it. Only do it if it's going to add in an interesting pace change for your player characters. So if you, for example, the players are desperately chasing after the villain, and they know where the villain is going, and they've got to get there before the villain gets there. One of these things would be useful to throw in just to give them a little test to see if they can follow. On the other hand, if they are journeying from one point of investigation to another point of investigation, there isn't really a time frame, there's no sense of pressure, then adding in these is just going to make it feel pedantically plodding. And we don't want that. We want it to move. So if they're going from one point to another point to do mundane stuff, have the travel mundane. That's kind of the rule that I go with. But never more than one of these on a particular journey. Otherwise, it becomes an adventure in itself. What do we do in terms of making travel hell? Well, there are some old rules.
I was there when they first forged things.
It's a lie. I was not in Geneva when Gary Gygax was writing the rules for his original Dungeons & Dragons. Dungeons & Dragons 2nd edition, I think it was in 1st edition as well, although I stand to be corrected. 2nd edition was all about keeping track of weight allowance, encumbrance, as well as your food and water. And they've kind of stuck through, although 5th edition has kind of gone,
they'll buy an adventurer's backpack. It'll cost you 20 gold pieces, and it's got everything in it that you need. You don't have to worry about them. Yeah, that's all cool.
They've taken away one of the administrative elements of the game, and in a way denied us as game masters the opportunity to really control that experience and to make it feel more real, or to make it feel hellish. Overland travel, we've got to look at three kind of components. Let's start with the simplest one, water. Water skins. Most player characters have got a water skin on them, and they're like, yeah, I've got 1 liter or a pint or whatever. I've got some water with me. You go, okay, good. And you're going to do an 8-hour hike in plate mail over mountains. Huh. Interesting. Having done multiple hikes, not in plate mail, but in the lightest possible clothing and with the most comfortable hiking boots that you can find, I can tell you one little skein of water is not going to help. It's not going to be enough. So adding water as a problem becomes an interesting idea. So it's about, okay, how do we find water? Where do we find water from? Fresh rivers. Okay, good. Getting to that fresh river could be super simple. I have yet to find a river where bending down and reaching and filling in the water bottle is an easy task. The rocks are slippery, the mud is muddy, and I mean, the wet is wet, right? The river is flowing, and you don't want to fall into it because you don't want to get wet because it's cold. Maybe it's snowing, maybe it's icing. I mean, there are so many things that you can add in to make it a bit of a challenge. Should it be a survival roll or something like that? That's hand-waving. That is literally going, no, it's all fine, you travel, it's okay, we'll get there and everything's lovely. So you're using the skills like a precision instrument to say, okie-dokes, you want to find water, absolutely fine. You need to find running water. Still water is going to contain all kinds of wonderful bacteria, which are technically not a poison, and is, you know, technically not a disease. It is a living organism inside of you, Mr. Paladin, so you're not immune. Running water needs to be found, so they need to look for running water. That's going to delay them. So you need to build in time pressures if you are going to make travel overland
help.
Yes, you can go looking for water. Yes, you can make your survival check to try and work out where the water is. Or you can make an intelligence check to see if you realize that water runs downhill. So looking in valleys is a good place to look for fresh water. Yes, you can make an intelligence check to realize that you are in a barren wasteland. And so finding water is highly unlikely unless you go digging for it. All of these kinds of things. You can add in whatever kind of check that you like. So finding water is a problem. But why would they need to find water, I hear you ask, if they are taking water with them? Let's say you've got a group who go, yes, we're going on this long journey. I've got 12 water skins with me, and yes, I'm not encumbered because I left everything else behind. Kudos, good for you. Except that the morning after you've been journeying for a while, you discover that your water skins, one of them appears to have been emptied in the night. So thieves can steal water. Water can be leached out of the bags by a strange effect in the area. You can put some pressure on. I would not and never do advocate that you should punish your player for being prepared for going on a journey. So I would not take away the water of a particular individual if they have planned for it. But if the group have got a wagon that they're going with and there's water barrels, or they're on a ship and there's water barrels, then it's not the group's responsibility. But when they run out of water, it becomes everybody's responsibility. So the individual who's planned ahead, don't punish them, reward them. Give them other challenges, which we're going to talk about later on in the video. Right, so the water starts to run out. There's a thief, someone's stealing it, or the environment leaches it out of leather bags. There are a lot of different avenues for you to explore. If it's a thief, it has to be a thief who can sneak into the camp somehow undetected. So perhaps it's a very small thief. Perhaps it is a mouse or a mosquito. Another thing with water is when you are out traveling, if there is too much water, it becomes problematic as well. A flash flood starts to wash away the road. It starts to cut across the valley that they're trying to get across. It starts to fill the valley that they're in. Flooding and lots and lots and lots of water, or just perpetual rain, can make everything wet, can make everything soggy, can prevent fires from being made, which prevents food from tasting good or being nutritious, or even being able to be cooked so it can't be eaten, or water from being boiled so it can't be drunk if the characters have run out of water. Yes, you've got lots of raging flood waters. It's brown and dirty. You cannot drink it. So you only brought one water skin that ran out yesterday. Today, you've got nothing but flood water or salt water or whatever. So when you look at travel, water should be your first port of call, all puns intended. Once you've dealt with water, the next thing to deal with is food. Food takes longer to become a problem. We all know this. I can go for minutes without needing food and not die. Others can go for hours, and most humans, whether they like it or not, can go for days or weeks without food. So it is something that's possible to do, but there are a whole bunch of ramifications. Now, your players presumably are not going to just knuckle it out and just go hungry. So they're going to go looking for food, hunting for food. Now, if there is no food nearby, what are they going to be doing? Are they delaying? So do you remember when I spoke about putting in a time pressure on the characters to get across to complete this journey? Going hunting is fine, but hunting takes time. I've been with professional hunters darting animals in a game reserve. So there's a big fence. Okay, these game reserves are huge in size, but even with all the modern day technology, it still takes you half a day to go and find something, track it down, hunt it, prepare it, and take it back to camp. So hunting is going to take a considerable amount of their time. So again, if they don't have any food, if the food's been stolen, or if they're eating it, or if they didn't prepare any, it takes them longer to traverse than it does if they had just prepared for it. Don't make hunting a make or break. Yes, you've all failed so bad, too bad. Just make it take longer. So putting in those time blocks is going to be your most effective weapon there. However, once the food has been depleted, once it's been taken care of. So even if the player's got, well, I've got 20 iron rations in my backpack because by golly, I'm prepared. Brilliant. Don't punish them. But you could add in that the party have become the food source of something else. So the idea of having them being hounded by a pack of wolves who stay in the shadows, just out of sight, they don't engage, and if the players go and try and engage them, they run away. It's becoming a delay, isn't it? They're slowing down the party once again. So that becomes one of the things, is travel, if it's delayed, is is hellish. It's problematic. Those kind of creatures that are hunting the party, they're not after the whole party. They only want one. So it starts to go, what, do you really want to go hunting, Jim? Yes, we've run out of food. But so have the wolves. You see the dilemma that it starts to create when you start to add in just a little bit. It's a hint. It doesn't have to be the super powerful creature. It's not going to wade into the middle of them and destroy them all in one night so they can kill it in one big fight. That, for me, is how you deal with the food situation, is you complicate that. So you've got water, you've got food, and then finally, the last thing to look at, in my opinion, is the actual geography itself. The players are following an old road that hasn't been maintained. It's a dwarvish road built 1,000 years ago. The dwarves are very good stonesmiths in most fantasy settings. But after 1,000 years, plants that have not been cut back or trampled underfoot by traffic have grown back. This is a fact. We know that this happens. Unless it is a road through a barren waste. Because if it's through a desert, it's covered in sand. A barren waste where there's very little going on. Maybe that road might still be traversable without any issues. But generally speaking, roads, if they're not very well used, or if there are no roads at all, just cross-cutting across dense bush. Take it from me. You go, oh, look, it's a lovely open grassland plain. And over there, there's some acacia trees. And over there, there's some of this and that. But it looks so easy to walk across. The amount of people that I saw in my time whilst I was working on safaris just suddenly disappear in the long grass. And you're like, is there a pit? Is there a crevasse? No. There was a little rock about the size of a football. That would be a European soccer ball, or even smaller, a baseball, for example, that they tripped on, and they didn't see it because of the tall grass, which is only waist high or knee high. It doesn't have to be very high. That is your opportunity. So you make what appears to be simple and straightforward suddenly become difficult in terms of navigating. Yes, it's a nice open plain. I keep looking over there at this open plain. Look at this grand vista. Can you all see it? You can see this vista. If you just look to your left, you'll see a giant vista of a rolling plain with yellow grasses and a few sort of stubby trees here and there. And they're very distant, those. Anyway, sorry, I wax lyrical. Whatever. So, paths, roads that have collapsed that cause the party to have to slow down. Again, we're going back to that time pressure. Roads that just don't exist. They're fighting their way through. They come across plants that have got hooks and thorns on them, and that slows them down. Now, when it comes to this kind of stuff, the players will potentially be thinking, you're just slowing us down. You're just delaying us. The map is flat. Look. Yeah, okay. The idea is that you don't want the players to feel like you are being the obstacle. You need the players to feel like the geography is being the obstacle. The way that you do that is by allowing the players to choose their path. But surely that's what they're doing already. Nuh-uh. The players are looking at potentially a map. I'm going to stop using that word now. The players are looking at a map that you've given them of the local area. Or they've spoken to the local tavern keeper and he's told them that it's easy walking all the way from here to there. That is not enough. That is players expecting an easy journey. So either they've encountered NPCs. Oh, it's pretty easy going. You will have to choose between the bog or the thicket. So what you've done is you've now said to the players, okay, you've got some information. There's a bog, there's a thicket. When they get to the top of the hill, they look out over this vista of these plains with the purple mountains and blah, 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 blah. They can see that the plains themselves undulate and wave in the wind and are very spectacular. But every now and again, there's a jagged orange tear as it looks as if there is soil erosion in certain parts that have created these deep gullies and trenches. And in other parts, they can see the shimmer of water as it sits very low in the grass, perhaps indicating some kind of bogginess. And the grass there is green rather than the brown where it is elsewhere. That is exactly the same as an NPC saying, well, there's a bog and there's a thicket. You are giving the players the information. They are deciding on their course of action. By making them decide, oh, well, let's go through the bog, or let's go through the thicket, or let's just cross over those crevasses and things. Then when they get to the difficulty, they are expecting it and they understand it and they are going to try and get over it. But if they have just been told it's a wide open plain that they can just cross and suddenly there's crevasses and suddenly there's this and suddenly there's that, that can become very frustrating. We want travel to be hell for the player characters, not the players. Broad summary. Pacing. Does this affect your pacing? Yes or no? Forewarning. and then choice. Let the players choose what they're going to do. Let them prepare, give them some information, give them some heads up, and then you're going to use time as a pressure to get across this place. That's my advice on making travel hell for your players. Until next time, huge thank you to my wonderful patrons and to you for watching all the way through until the very end. Until next time, I wish you and yours the happiest of gaming!